Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yo, welcome to Locked On Wolves, your only existing daily podcast about the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Zachary Bennett, and for those of you who were unable to tune in yesterday, you can obviously tell, if you're tuning in today, that I am not Alan Horton. So to briefly recap, Mr. Alan Horton, radio play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, is unable to continue in his duties as host of the Locked On Wolves podcast, hence why I'm here. You can continue to follow Alan on Twitter, though, at Wolves Radio. Be sure to follow the Locked On Wolves podcast at Locked On Wolves. You can follow me on Twitter at Zachary BD. I have every intention of having Alan on the program as often as possible. You have not heard the last of him. I assure you that. On today's program, before getting into the Timberwolves' loss to the Memphis Grizzlies last night in the season opener, let's go over a few storylines from a full slate of NBA games that happened last night. There were 10 games last night. Arguably none more entertaining than the Sixers and the Oklahoma City Thunder taking place at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, where Joel Embiid, someone who has the potential to be the biggest NBA cult hero since, dare I say, Avinas Sabonis? I mean, in Wolves fandom, Alexi Shved had a cult following, but nothing like Joel Embiid in Philadelphia.
You know they drew up a play in the last timeout. Brett Brown didn't want to waste it and have to call another one. The ISO to JoJo.
His second big hoop here coming down the stretch.
Joel Embiid last night, 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 blocks. And in limited minutes, he's on a minute restriction. He played just over 20 minutes. And if you couldn't tell by the reaction from the crowd in that clip, you can definitely tell from how the crowd reacted to Embiid shooting 2 free throws late in the third quarter.
Every time Embiid goes crashing to the floor, the fans will take an extra long look to make sure he's okay. They're chanting MVP. They are so hungry and so desperate for some positives in what has been such a difficult 3-year stretch.
That was Emmy Award-winning play-by-play voice of the Sixers, Mark Zumoff, on the call. That wasn't the only thing that Sixers fans were chanting last night. Get a load of this.
And they're chanting, trust the process, in a nod to Sam Hinkie, who was a general manager here for the 3-year run that brought Embiid, Noel, Okafor, and a slew of draft choices.
Unbeatable? I'm kidding. Don't call the police. That was terrible. Philly fans, we love you. That is good stuff. You can't make it up. Joel Embiid would like his nickname to be the process. I read a joke on Twitter today saying Sam Hinkie's really making a run for executive of the year this year, which is funny because he's no longer in his position with the Sixers. Embiid couldn't lead the Sixers to victory, though. They were unable to come. Westbrook, who's poised to redefine hero ball in the wake of Kevin Durant's departure, put up 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. Perhaps the most awful/entertaining portion of this game was, and you can get you'll find it. It's on Deadspin. It's on Vine. It's all over the internet by now. Some fan sporting a Sixers jersey in the first two rows, giving Westbrook not one but 2 middle fingers, using both of his hands, using expletives to
disrespect Russell Westbrook, and Westbrook's reaction is priceless. He's just pointing at him going, who is this guy? The said fan was escorted out of the building shortly thereafter. I would have loved to have been in attendance for Sixers Oklahoma City Thunder last night. It would have been great. The final score, 103-97. Philly hung around. The Thunder are going to depend on a lot of those gaudy stat lines from Russell Westbrook this season, of course, because of Durant's departure. So it should be an interesting season, to put it simply, for both of these teams. A lot of compelling and interesting pieces in Philadelphia, Sergio Rodriguez being one of them, Dario Saric being another. Some European imports, unfortunately. Ben Simmons, it looks as though he will not play this season. Let's go over to the Western Conference for a minute. The Denver Nuggets played the New Orleans Pelicans last night in New Orleans. Anthony Davis, a monster.
AD, catch and shoot. Yes. 44 for Anthony Davis. Four of the fourth. Frazier with AD. Rolling to the rim. Two-point game. Timeout, Mike Malone in Denver. Milking the clock is Moutier. Anthony Davis taps it away. The big man on the run. He's got it. Two-point game.
Anthony Davis finished with 50 points. Count them, 50. Making 17 of his 34 field goal attempts, missing all but one of his shots from the charity stripe, going 16 of 17 from the free throw line. He added 16 rebounds, 7 steals, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a 5-5-5-5-5 game. I didn't look it up. It's probably been a while, but Anthony Davis came within one block of accomplishing that rare feat. Unfortunately for him, it came in a losing effort. The Pelicans were unable to overcome Denver's balanced scoring attack, spearheaded by Jusuf Nurkić and Nikola Jokic, who posted a combined 55 points. Two very skilled big men over there in Denver. Those were two of the Nuggets' 5 players to finish the game in double-digit scoring totals, and in helping Denver to win 107-102, escaping the French Quarter with a victory. So Denver, a team on the rise, a little behind the Wolves in terms of trajectory within the Western Conference, some good young pieces. Jamal Murray played a little. Emmanuel Mudiay still coming along, still has a ways to go. But Denver will definitely be a fun team to watch, especially with the aforementioned Jokic and Nurkić down low. Going back to the Eastern Conference, or an interconference matchup, this one. Indiana outpaces Dallas in overtime, defeating the Mavericks 130-121, behind a career night from Miles Turner.
28 tonight for Miles Turner with 16 rebounds, matching a career high. It's saved. George has it. And now Turner is going to throw it down.
Yeah, big fella.
Pacers play-by-play voice Chris Denieri and color analyst Quinn Buckner, respectively, on the call. Turner, the 20-year-old second-year center out of Texas, posted a career-high 30 points and 16 rebounds. He did have a lot of help from the fellow members of Indiana's starting lineup. The Pacers received double-digit scoring efforts from each of the other 4 starters, one of them being former Timberwolf Thad Young, who, before fouling out, put up 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Paul George, an extremely efficient night scoring the basketball. He made 7 of his 14 shot attempts, and including 4 of 5 of them from behind the three-point line. Ended up scoring 25 points. PG-13 collected 8 rebounds and dished out 6 assists to go along with that. The thing I'll say about Dallas, and I don't have a lot to say about them, but I'm sure there's some stuff I could conjure up if given the time. You know, Andrew Bogut and Harrison Barnes. Dallas is always a pull players off the scrap heap and put them around Dirk and wish for the best. Helps that Rick Carlisle is arguably the best coach in the game right now. But the thing I'll say about Dallas today, they made 18 three-pointers. They attempted 48, coming one three-point attempt shy of the NBA record for most three-pointers attempted by a single team in a single game. That record was set by the Mavs back on March 5th, 5. So some pretty good games around the league. Just reviewing some of the other scores. Boston cuts down the Nets 117-122. Miami defeats Orlando in an interstate battle 108-96. Detroit falls to Toronto. The Raptors, of course, led by a 40-point performance from DeMar DeRozan. Valanciunas gave the Raptors 32 points as well. Toronto wins, as I said, 109-91. Charlotte defeats the Bucks, who didn't get anything from anybody not named Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Hornets buzz the Bucks 107-96. Sacramento defeats Phoenix 113-94, although Phoenix enjoyed some nice moments from a few of their young prospects, Dragan Bender, Marquise Chris being some of them. Devin Booker, still a very good scorer. Has some kinks to work out in his game, needs to improve on the defensive end. Seems to show his emotions on his sleeve at times, which is fine. Got to learn to keep those emotions in check, though. The Fighting Luke Waltons come away with a victory over the James Harden-led Rockets, 120-114. The Lakers were led by Jordan Clarkson, who scored 25 points on 8-12 shooting. Julius Randle added 18. Timofey Mozgov, in 22 minutes, scored 12. D'Angelo Russell gave him 20. Nick Young offered 8. So a pretty good performance from the Lakers in their first regular season game under Luke Walton. The Rockets playing under offensive coaching legend Mike D'Antoni were unable to get enough stops to win the game, which might be the tail of the season for them when it's all said and done. James Harden, 34 points and 17 assists. He had 16 assists by halftime, which is incredible to think about, although not really if you put in any stock into the statements from D'Antoni before the season saying that he believes Harden is capable of doubling his 8 assists per game average from last season. So will the Rockets play enough defense to be relevant in the Western Conference? You know, maybe compete for a playoff bid? Who knows? Elsewhere around the league. No, that covers it. So we can get into what you came here for. The Wolves were defeated by the Memphis Grizzlies last night, 102-98, despite leading by as many as 17 points during the first quarter. Although anybody who knows basketball knows it's a game of runs, and as Tom Thibodeau will tell you, no lead is ever safe.
No lead is safe. So you got off to a good start. You let your guard down. You leave the line open. 17 points, you know, could be made up quickly, and it was. So we're not challenging shots, not finishing our defense. That has to be corrected. Over-helping in situations in which we shouldn't. It's all discipline. So we got to get a look at the film tomorrow, make our corrections.
Any chance the young team was just too easy early on?
No. Yeah, you know, there were some good things, too. You know, and so we have to learn from it, study what happened down the stretch. The game was in the balance. We gave up a couple offensive rebounds, a free throw rebound. So we have to correct that. We missed some free throws.
Tom Thibodeau, of course, though he didn't mention him by name, is talking about the free throws Andrew Wiggins missed with 1:13 remaining in regulation. Had Wiggins made at least one of those free throws, it would have tied the game. Instead, he misses a pair, and the Wolves stay behind. Wiggins called those free throws a game changer. The Wolves' third-year player did score 25 points. Just 2 in the fourth quarter, though, due to lockdown defense provided by the NBA's oldest player, Vince Carter, a guy who I said yesterday would be in the Memphis Grizzlies starting lineup, although Doug Fitzdale ended up bringing him off the bench. Vince Carter, in 28 minutes, scored 3 points. He had 7 rebounds and was 1 of 4 from the field. Very underwhelming night from him, but his cohort coming off the bench for Memphis, Zach Randolph, a.k.a. Z-Bo, a.k.a. first name 20, last name 10, in just under 25 minutes, shot 7 of 12 from the field, had 19 points and 11 rebounds, snared a rebound late in the game, secured it, snarled at Chris Dunn, who was hanging around below. He was a mouse in the house, trying to steal the ball from Randolph. Randolph sort of scoffed at him. That was a funny moment. Mike Conley was really the difference maker for the Grizzlies. 8 of 14 shooting, made 4 of 5 of his attempts from three-point range, finished with 24 points, had 4 assists, nailed a 3 late in the game that proved to be the dagger that buried the Wolves for good. It was the Wolves' young trio of 20 and 21-year-olds that did most of the heavy lifting as far as scoring is concerned. Like I said, Andrew Wiggins, 25 points. Karl-Anthony Towns added 21 on 9 of 20 shooting. He made 2 of his 5 three-point attempts. Also add 4 rebounds and 5 assists. Zach LaVine, 19 points, shot 6 of 14 from the field, made 3 of 6 of his three-point attempts, added five rebounds. 3 assists as well. Ricky Rubio scored 4, had 8 assists, 4 rebounds, typical Rubio stat line. Had a key turnover late. The Wolves trying to make it a one-possession game with less than 2 minutes remaining. Pass to Rubio on the far side of the television screen if you were watching at home. Rubio catches the ball, lines up a 3-pointer. In the process of doing that, he steps out of bounds, shoots. The ball misses, so it's a moot point anyway. The play results in a turnover to Memphis, and that becomes one of the few contributing factors as to why the Wolves were unable to overcome the Grizzlies late in the fourth quarter. Just a few things we'll go over. The lineup, the starting lineup of Rubio, LaVine, Gorgui Dieng, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins that we discussed yesterday, that we've hashed out before on the Wolves Wired podcast, the lineup that offered the Wolves a lot of success during the second half of the season last year. They saw 24 minutes on the floor together. That lineup collectively shot 7 of 41 from the field, which equates to 41.5%. They made 50% of their three-point attempts, shooting 5 of 10 from beyond the arc, 10 of 13 from the free throw line, 2 of those misses, notably belonging to Andrew Wiggins. Outscored by Memphis by 4 points during their time on the floor. So while they were on the floor, Memphis actually outscored the Wolves starters 53-49. No other five-man combination saw more than 5 minutes on the floor together. The lineup with the most minutes on the floor, aside from the starters, Ricky Rubio, Cole Aldrich, Brandon Rush, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins. They managed to outscore Memphis 9-7 during their time on the floor. Chris Dunn had himself a nice game in his NBA debut.
Personally, I feel like, I'm starting to get more comfortable. Just trying to play within the system, trying to stay in my lane. And, try to be as effective as I can, try to bring that defense, intensity that, coach want me to bring when he puts me in. So, I'm just out there trying to improve every day.
What were your nerves like before the game tonight?
I think that stopped, after the first preseason game. That's when I had the jitters. But now, like I said, I think I'm starting to get comfortable. So I wasn't really as nervous. But, playing in a crowd like that, it was great. The atmosphere was great. And, that's the type of games I like to play in.
Chris Dunn, very complimentary of the crowd inside what Memphis fans refer to as the grindhouse. Dunn finished, he played 15 minutes. He finished with 8 points, was a -6 in terms of plus-minus rating. The second lowest on the team to Karl-Anthony Towns. Not going to get into the minutia of plus-minus at the moment, but it's okay to have a negative plus minus. Sometimes there are contributing variables into that metric that should be considered before using it in certain contexts. But Dunn scored 8 points, made 4 of 6 of his shot attempts, had 4 rebounds, turned the ball over just once, even assist to turnover ratio, 1 assist to 1 turnover. So a solid performance for Dunn, I would say. As you heard, he's beginning to get more comfortable. Shabazz Muhammad, not so great of a performance. Finished with 2 points. one of six from the field in 13 minutes. Struggled to get anything going, as was the case with Nemanja Bjelica. Just an overall underwhelming performance from the Wolves' second unit. But credit to Memphis. I mean, they got key contributions from guys that they have relied on for the past couple seasons off the bench. Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol added 18 points of his own, shot 7 of 17 from the field, was not completely and utterly embarrassed by Karl-Anthony Towns, unlike the preseason game last week, which we hashed out on yesterday's podcast. The Wolves won a lot of the key battles. They win the turnover battle, turning it over less than Memphis. With 11, Memphis turned it over 13 times. The Wolves managed to turn those 13 turnovers into 18 points, while Memphis turned 11 Wolves turnovers into 17 points. The Timberwolves outscored the Grizzlies in terms of points in the paint, 44-34. Outscored them in second chance points, 22-20. Outscored them in fast break points, 13-5. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this recap, had a lead as large as 17 points during that first quarter. The game saw 11 lead changes, was tied 5 times. Just, a very entertaining game. If you were a fan of the NBA and pledged no allegiance to either of these teams, it was definitely the most competitive, aside from maybe Indiana and Dallas, game on last night's slate. So let's bring back an old friend and hear what Alan Horton had to say about it. This audio is from the Wolf SoundCloud page. Here is the three factors.
Three factors, the three biggest reasons the Wolves came up short here in Memphis. Let's start with their fantastic start. They got off to a 20-3 lead. They were dominant in this game. Memphis looked confused, bamboozled. They didn't know what to do. The Wolves were running circles around them. The offense was flowing. The defense was firing on all cylinders. But it was almost too good to be true, and it was too good to be true. The final rest of that quarter, Memphis outscored Minnesota 26-12. After the Wolves regained the edge and a 9-point lead at the half, the Grizzlies again had a 16-0 run to begin the third. So some key runs in this game that led to the downfall of the Timberwolves here tonight. So that was our first factor, the crucial runs. Our second factor, the big three for Memphis. Zach Randolph, 19 points, 11 rebounds in 24 minutes off the bench. Mike Conley, 24 points. He finished with 4 assists. And Marc Gasol, 18 points tonight. The big three were huge for Memphis. And then our third factor is Memphis just out-executed Minnesota going down the stretch. The Wolves had the lead 90-86 with 3 minutes and 9 seconds left. But over those final 3 minutes left, the Wolves got outscored 16-8. The Wolves were just 2 of 8 shooting, while Memphis was 5 for 5, 1 for 1 from deep, and 5 of 6 at the free throw line.
That was a very eloquent, the very good at what he does, one of the best in the business, Alan Horton, giving you his three factors from last night's loss to the Memphis Grizzlies. Next up for the Wolves, having just lost to a team that Dave Joerger coached for a handful of seasons in the Memphis Grizzlies, they get Dave Joerger's new team, the Sacramento Kings, this upcoming Saturday, October 29th. As I mentioned earlier, the Kings defeated Phoenix last night, 113-94. They are led, of course, by DeMarcus Cousins, who scored 24 points in their win over Phoenix in just 24 minutes. Rudy Gay is still on that team, despite trade rumors that have circled around him over recent weeks. He scored 22 on a very efficient 9 of 15 shooting from the field. The Kings received 14 points off the bench from Matt Barnes, and something named Garrett Temple added 12. So, you know, with all things being equal early in the season, every single team has life. There's a reason to believe or a reason to be optimistic if you're a Kings fan this season, much like there's reasons to be optimistic about the Wolves this season. So it's, as of now, it's every game is critical, especially in the rugged, ruthless, competitive Western Conference. As far as games tonight on the NBA slate, let's see what's going on here. Washington in Atlanta taking on the Hawks. Dwight Howard making his regular season debut for his hometown Hawks. Boston is in Chicago on the second night of a back-to-back, taking on the Is it the Dwayne Wade-led Bulls, or is it the Jimmy Butler-led Bulls? I think Dwayne Wade would tell you it's Jimmy Butler's team, but I'll believe it when I see it. They go at it beginning at 7 o'clock Central Time. The Sacramento Kings, the aforementioned Kings, are at home tonight hosting the San Antonio Spurs, who are fresh off a 20-something point victory over the defending runner-up, the NBA runner-up, Golden State Warriors. And lastly, Portland is at home taking on the Clippers. The Clippers playing for the first time this season. A game that I will be watching selfishly for fantasy basketball reasons only. That's it. I get to come back and do this tomorrow, so I have to try to leave a little something to be desired. Again, my name is Zachary Bennett. I thank you for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure to follow Locked On Wolves at Locked On Wolves on the Twitter machine. You can follow me on that same machine at Zachary BD. That's it. I got nothing. Subscribe on iTunes, I suppose. I'm still getting used to my routine of exiting and entering the program and delivering all the necessary programming notes in a smooth fashion. I'm not doing very well, as you can tell, but I'm going to get better every day. I really appreciate you listening. This has been fun. So until tomorrow, we'll talk soon.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.